appreciating who they are and what they do. And then most importantly is creating in people an urgent want. They should want what it is that you have, whether you're selling something, whether you're the boss trying to motivate your employees, or whether you're sharing the gospel, that you can't make somebody believe what you believe. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. So the only way to share the gospel effectively is to be able to have people want to obey the gospel. And so that's the part of this that a lot of people need to work on. You can't just go and start preaching at people and have any level of effectiveness. That's why it really doesn't help a whole lot when you see people out there yelling at the street corner. You know, the end is near. And most people just kind of look at them and shake their heads whenever they see that. It really doesn't arouse an eager want in people. And so then we had several other sections. The second one was how to make people like you. And that was to build the relationship. Most of the time you're not going to be that effective unless you've built some kind of a relationship with the person. Even if the person is a stranger when you start talking, you still have to spend a little bit of time building that relationship before you can get to the point of sharing the gospel with them. And so some of the techniques were centered around building that relationship. And then the third section was actually winning people to your way of thinking. So that was kind of the meat of the book. And then finally, there were some leadership techniques that reinforced some of the others that helped you have an impact on other people. So finally, as we've come through all of these different techniques that are on your handout and up here on the screen, if you're able to read it. Does anybody else not get one of the handouts that needs one? So today, for your final exam, what we're going to do is have some situations. And so what I'd like for you to do is take a look at this list of techniques. I'll provide you the situation, and I would like for you to pick one of these techniques, and there's going to be many that apply to these situations, but pick one and tell how you think it would apply to the situation. So let's start off easy here. Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your door. They want to study with you. All right, usually the first thing you do is slam the door in their face. But let's assuming that you were motivated by our CERT program up here and you said, these people are misguided. I should study with them and share with them the real gospel and not the one that they're sharing with people. So you don't have to go through the conversation you'd have with them, but which of these techniques would be important? Which one stands out to you first of all, perhaps? Yes, Chuck. Good, good. I like that. Yeah, I mean, do you go out knocking doors trying to share the gospel? They do, because they feel like it's urgent. They see the need. This is the same kind of zeal we'd like to have in sharing the gospel. You know, perhaps not riding bicycles around the neighborhood and everything, but they see the needs as being urgent, don't they? Okay, yes. All right, yeah, listening to them with an open heart. Yeah. Very good. One of the very first principles we talked about, criticizing, condemning, and complaining. If they walk in criticizing your religion, that immediately turns you off, doesn't it? And it does the same for them. If you start off critically, yes?
Use their name.
Use their name. It's going to be easy to use their name. Why is that, Charlotte? They have a name tag on, right? So for the people like me that have a very difficult time with names, even sometimes of people that I know well, that's easy. They've got their name on their name tag, and half the time when you're wearing a name tag, you kind of forget after a while that you're wearing it. And so it sometimes catches you off guard when people call you by that name on your name tag. So, don't be afraid to use their name. It catches people's attention. Have you ever noticed you can be in a crowded room with multiple conversations going on, and when your name is mentioned, you hear it? Out of all of the things that are going on and all of the conversations, if somebody says your name, you pick it out of that entire room in that conversation. Okay? So people's name is an important thing to them. All right? What other techniques would be important? Okay. All right. And once again, think about how you feel about it. You don't appreciate it when people argue with you and minimize your opinions. Exactly. You don't have to argue, do you? Because you've got the Word of God in front of you. And the good thing about Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons is they will let you pull out your Bible and use it. Normally, although they have their own versions of the Bible that they prefer to use, they will use a King James. So they're probably, if you say, what version are you going to use, they're probably going to say, is a King James okay? And so it may be a little while since you've used a King James, but the words are all still there. So if that creates an area of common ground, a version you can both agree with, then feel free to compromise and use the King James. It's better than using their New World Translation, even if you're not as comfortable maybe as you are with the NIV or New American Standard or something. Right. Right now you're listening, right?
Right.
And so you're hearing what they have to say, because chances are those same verses are the ones you're going to want to come back to later. Mm-hmm. And say,
but
we talked about this.
Other verses that may be directed a little bit different than mm-hmm. words, because they're taking it maybe a little bit out of context.
Right.
So you're wanting to be able, and if you don't really know the answers, then tell me, we'll come back and we can talk about this another mm-hmm. someday, make
And Russ is going to have an upcoming class specifically talking about some of the beliefs of other denominations, and so he'll get more into that later about some of the ways that you do that.
Well, that was one of the things he hit on the last time.
Yes, okay. All right, let's move on to the next one. Okay, your coworker is talking a little bit about the frustration that they're having because they don't seem to have a purpose in life. Sometimes you get that feeling of, why am I doing this? I'm going to work, I come home, I eat, I sleep, I go back to work. And there's no purpose to my life. Okay? So in that situation, how could you apply some of these different techniques? Which ones might be important? Yes, Wes? Let them talk, okay? Mm-hmm. Yep. You can get a long way by letting them talk and asking questions, leading questions sometimes that are leading them in the direction that you'd like their thoughts to go. Okay, very good. It's hard to go wrong with step one being listening. Okay? What else?
Be friendly with them.
Yes.
Even though they might be frustrated. Don't get frustrated along with them.
Mm-hmm.
I found myself have done that. You frustrated and I'm frustrated listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
Just be friendly. Let them, like Wesley said, let them talk. Listen to them. Mm-hmm. See where they're going with their frustration.
Good. If you want them to know the peace of Jesus, then let them see the peace of Jesus in you, that you're not so easily frustrated. Okay. Yes. Absolutely. once you listen and you hear the things that they're feeling, then you'll know what their need is. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Feel kind of alone, like everybody else has a purpose but me. Absolutely. Yeah, there is some common ground there because you've probably felt that mm-hmm. at times.
And also these techniques don't only work with a stranger you meet in the street or whatever. Mm-hmm. This will help with even family members.
They work better with people that you know well. Absolutely are. Okay. All right. So your boss has some spiritual questions, but they don't have a strong religious background. Where would you start? What's that?
With the Bible.
With the Bible. Okay. But of these techniques, which ones would apply in this specific case? Yes, Wes.
Appeal to a local brother.
Okay.
That he can to see a purpose that is above what we are in the kind of life.
Okay.
And yes, yeah, we have a reason to want to do it, to find out more.
Yes, because they've had something on their mind, apparently, because they've got some questions here. Certainly, yeah, and in this case, they've got questions, and that's vitally important. You know, that's usually where faith starts, is questions. Okay.
And even though they are asking questions, you ask them some questions.
Mm-hmm.
Just try to see, okay, just about where are they, mm-hmm. you know, what level, you know.
Because mm-hmm. you got to know where they are spiritually. Yeah. You know that they don't have a strong religious background. But they probably have some awareness of spirituality. So yeah, finding out their background and what your common ground is a start. You know, whether it's believing in God, believing Jesus is the Son of God, do they believe in the Bible as the inspired Word of God? If you find out some of those basic foundation questions, then you know where you're going to start here. Yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yep. Exactly. And sharing with them that you used to have those same questions and that you found the answers.
Some people don't know how to ask questions. So that's why you ask the question. They might not have that right, you know, I don't know what to ask.
Yeah, exactly. They just know they're wondering,
right.
But they don't even know enough maybe about the Bible to know what the question is they should be asking. So, yeah, that's where you asking questions can help. Where you say, how do you feel about? What do you think about? What's your perception of, you know, the way that God works in the world? And sometimes you assume if somebody says they believe in God that they believe in the exact same concept of God that you have, and that's not always the case. You know, some people are theists. They believe that God exists and that he created the universe and then just let it go. And so sometimes it's nice to be able to find out how they feel about these things. That's good. All right. So you feel that your cousin, who is a Christian, is following a negative path and they have bad influences in their life. start. Remember, they say they're a Christian, but you see what's going on in their life, and you see them getting farther and farther away from the path that they're supposed to be following. So where do you start? Which of these techniques would be a useful place for you to begin with them? Yeah, let them know that you're on their side, because you are, and they may not see it that way otherwise. If you grab them by the throat and say, "What are you even doing?" You know better than this. You're right. They're going to take a defensive attitude, aren't they? All right. What else could be a useful way to approach this? Very good. Right, exactly. That you care about them, and that you care about the state of their soul, and that you see that their soul may be in danger here. Right. That's going to be really easy for it to devolve into an argument very quickly. Who are you to judge me and what I'm doing? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Very small group. Let me say that she said it was a picture of a church that was going to be able to ask for my picture. And you asked me, how do you go to school? That's a question. You know, not too many people ask you that question, do they? But I think it's the way that you ask it.
Yeah, and some people might look at it as like, "Why do you see a problem? Should I be worried?"
Well, they might.
But have you ever asked yourself that question? How am I doing spiritually? Because you can't lie to yourself. You can put on a brave face for other people, but you know if you're lying to yourself whenever you answer that question. Interesting technique, Pat. If you see them having a problem, imagine if you went to them and said and asked their advice. I'm really struggling with temptation right now in my life, and do you have any advice for me? That may be a way to let them think in an introspective way and think, I'm having some problems with that myself. And it might be that in the process of ostensibly helping you, they may actually be helping themselves. I like that technique. I'm thinking with your brain right there. All right. What else? That's true. Yeah, listening is always a good place to start. You may find that there's more to the story than you realize. They may have some bad influences in their life, but maybe they're influencing those bad influences. And so it might be that the situation's not quite what you thought it was. Good observation. All right, so you mention your faith to somebody, and either you already knew or you find out they're an agnostic. Everybody know what an agnostic is, first of all? Different than an atheist. An atheist says, I don't think there's a God. An agnostic says, I don't know. It might be, might not be. So you mention your faith to somebody that is not even sure whether God exists. Where do you think the conversation could go? What kind of techniques could you use as you try to strike up a dialogue with this person who's agnostic?
Ask them why they would give you a certain direction. I don't know if it's true, but it kind of makes you think there is a
Yeah, make them think about it.
Where they're at.
Yeah, sometimes people that haven't decided because they haven't really spent a lot of time putting thought into it. If you get them to make their own arguments, pro and con, they might convince themselves. Might convince themselves in the wrong way, though. So pay close attention to what's happening in this conversation. Yes, Wes? Interesting. So you ask them the question of, you know, if there's a warning light on my dash and I don't know what it means, how would I find out?
Yeah.
Check your manual. You know, if you've got a warning light going off in your life, where do you go for a reference?
If you're not sure, one thing to do is listen to the Bible. You know, try to find out. Definitely, you're going to have some questions.
Make them think. Yeah. Because if they're, a lot of times people enjoy a mentally stimulating conversation, and so many of our conversations are so shallow that we have with people. It's really rare whenever you actually take the time and sit down and have a really deep conversation with somebody, and most people really enjoy that because such a treat, you know, to find somebody willing to take the time and interest to have an in-depth conversation about a spiritual issue.
As long as you're not real deep and not going anywhere. You can't be
going stuck in the mud in a deep hole.
You know,
yeah.
Some people get so deep that they don't even know where they are themselves. So what are you talking about?
It's true.
So you have to keep it real.
Right.
Just don't be talking, just be talking to hear yourself talk and thinking you got all the answers.
Yeah.
You know, because you can, I'm that type of person, you can lose me in translation.
Yeah, if you get too deep into philosophy,
please, y'all, don't do that to me. I ask you a question, give it to me simple, and show me.
But for an agnostic, you're going to have to dig a little bit into philosophy.
Yeah.
Because that's a philosophical question, and if they're not even sure God exists, it's going to be hard to use the Bible alone to talk to them, because they're not yet at that point. That common ground is merely a grasp that they might be open to the idea of God.
Now, see, I really would have to pray with a person like that, because you really it's not going to be me at all, because I really don't know how to. I have come upon people like that. And those are the ones that make me kind of frustrated. You know, why can't I get this through to you? You know, what is it that you don't, you know, understand? So that's when you really have to say,
God taking me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. So, you know, that's when you really have to stop and say, God, they believe, or either when I have came upon people like that, what I do, invite them to church, and I say, I know some spiritual men that go to my church that can answer your question.
Mm-hmm.
When I can't handle it, you know, I'm not going to sit up there and try to answer something I don't,
right.
I can't deal with. I'm going to lead you to the right.
And you can at least listen and find out where they are, and maybe ask a question or two of what would make you want there to be a God? You know, if you think about it in those terms of, you know, if you're not sure, would you prefer to find out there is one, or would you prefer to find out there's not one? Some people would prefer to find out there's not one, because then there's nobody to hold them accountable for their actions. And so sometimes deep down they kind of think there is, but they hope there's not. And so you might can pull that out in conversation. I saw...
I just think of Romans where nobody has an excuse because that's what we can see.
Right.
Sitting in an air-conditioned building, we're communicating. How do you explain all this?
I just wanted to add that, you know, as you were saying, the conversation is pretty shallow, and it shows relationships or forms of relationships when you get deep in the conversation with somebody. But our main purpose is just to plant anyway. So we have to start with something that's what we're doing. We plant seeds. We know some seeds are not going to take root down here, but we want to plant a seed enough where it will make a person want to come back and act something else, want to find something else. Because in a conversation we have with somebody, you're not going to convert them right in that moment, you know. But what we're doing is just throwing seeds out and trying to get something to make them pop an interest. To make them come back. You know, you said something that I was thinking about, you know, what do you mean by what you see such and such a thing, you know? And so when you say something, it will make them think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You may not think about them right then, may not hit them right then,
right.
But at a later point, they'll come back to you.
And as we said, this is a process. You're not going to change somebody's thinking and their entire concept of life in a five-minute conversation. But you can do it in a whole bunch of five-minute conversations. And our scripture text for this class was Colossians 4, 2 through 6. One of the things that it says is that your conversation should be seasoned with salt. And that's kind of what that means. When you throw a little salt into the conversation, you're seasoning it. You're making it interesting. And you're making it appealing to them where they want to come back and continue this conversation later. And so it's a very effective technique. And if you can ask them an intriguing question and say, why don't you think through your answer to that, and then let's talk again tomorrow. But I want you to have a chance to ruminate a little bit on this question, you know, of, you know, whatever that question is that's appropriate to their situation of, you know, how would it affect your life if you believed that there was a God? Or, as I said earlier, would you prefer to find out that there is a God or prefer to find out there's not a God? And you know, make them think about those basic questions. When you really drill down, most people deep down kind of feel like there's a God. And the people who call themselves atheists generally have convinced themselves that there's no God because they don't want there to be a God. And so they're denying what actually they really kind of think deep down.
What was that
verse? Colossians 4, 2 through 6.
Imagine how they tell you about it.
Okay.
And did you tell somebody something in the past that is in the Bible or the faith? So you better know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's why you've got to sharpen your own sword of the Word of God so that you're ready to have these kind of discussions. And most of our Bible classes center around giving you that background. This one is an unusual one in that this is teaching you how to use the information that you already have. All right. So you've got a friend that you can tell needs some spiritual guidance, but they've got a very negative opinion of organized religion. Where do you start? Okay, this is the extra credit. All right.
So you have a friend.
Mm-hmm. And they need some spiritual guidance. But you know from previous conversation that they have a very negative viewpoint of organized religion. Okay, Wesley and Brian.
There is a lot of negative organized religion, especially there's so many out there. Take it from their perspective. Mm-hmm. And they feel that, oh, you do some of the things I see in this area.
Remember, the only way to win an argument is to avoid it. Mm-hmm. So you don't argue with them about organized religion. Remember what Russ says. Well, you're in luck. Our church is about as least organized as you can imagine. But if you start with a little humor like that and then help them see, not Christianity doesn't have to be sometimes what they see in the mass media. It's not all Catholicism. It's not all the liturgical religions. That it's not all televangelists that they see on there. It's not all about, you know, wanting your money. And sometimes that's the viewpoint they have from mass media, is that's what they see and that's what they think religion is. So yeah, if you start off and you agree with them, you know, I think that's terrible. The abuse happening in the Catholic Church and these televangelists that live in mansions while they're, you know, having people put donations on their credit cards that can't afford to pay it. You know, if you start off and you agree with everything they're saying, then you say, but there's more to Christianity than that. And in fact, it's not that there's more than that. That's not Christianity. So let me show you what Christianity actually means and what it can mean to you and in your life.
We're a family for these people. We're giving them the spiritual bread that's going to You know, we're imperfect people worshiping a God who loved us so much that he gave his son. You know, there's no other God, like Chris said, in the sermon. No other God on the planet that people worship that gave their own son to die for them. And they need to have that help.
Did you say you read some scripture?
Yeah, they need some spiritual guidance. And you can tell that that's what they need and that even they're starting to realize they need it, but they're just right now not looking to religion to provide it because of the negative impression.
Well, God's wisdom doesn't have to be delivered to them. It's logical as well. I mean, Proverbs is just, if you think about it, it's like, yeah, but, you know... Why didn't that, I think of Solomon when he was going to have the baby cut in half, because he knew that the real mother wouldn't let that happen. You know, there's ways to deal that you can give him advice with God's wisdom that really, that's one way of giving you some clout, just like Daniel or Joseph.
We have to be careful that we're not the ones that give them that negative impression, because it's easy for that to happen. You know, when somebody walks in the door that doesn't look like us or talk like us or act like us, and you know they've got tattoos and shrapnel in their face, and you know, sometimes you look at them and it's like, I can't connect with you because you're different than me, and we need to be able to show them that, you know, God loves you no matter where you are whenever you come to him and whenever you come to trust him. We're not going to judge you because of the way that you've been up to this point, because we all had sin in our lives and we still do whenever we come to Jesus. And he accepts us where we are and changes us into the person that he wants us to be. Okay. One last one in our last few minutes. And this one is closely related to the last one. A friend's disillusioned with religion after hearing about the scandals in some of the popular denominations. And that's been going on for years, all the way back to Jim and Tammy Baker and Jerry Falwell and then the latest one has been the Catholic Church abuse situation. There's no shortage of stories in the media about religion, and sometimes it seems like they love those stories because it points out that all Christians are hypocrites. And so the bad thing about it is that many of us can be hypocrites at times. And so it's not too far from the truth that we're all imperfect, we're all sinners. And so that's something that we're going to have to struggle with people. Yes?
You said it earlier, show them the right way. The way you scan them, not everybody that
and being willing to admit that being a Christian doesn't make you perfect, and that there are people who are Christians that still do make mistakes, sometimes big mistakes. When we lived in Nebraska, after we left, the preacher there ended up having a relationship with one of the deacon's wives and ended up divorcing his wife and marrying the deacon's wife, and left that church and started going to another church and continued on as though nothing had happened. You know, being a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to make a mistake and not going to make a really bad mistake. Look at David. He made some serious mistakes even being a man of God. And sometimes we get to thinking, oh, that can't happen to us. And that's whenever we're in trouble, is when we think, we're too pious and we're too righteous to commit any kind of a, quote, bad sin.
And we have to make sure that we're not
Sinning
against the
That's not an appealing image, is that the church is a place of perfect people, because then people say, well, I can't go there then, because that's not me. They've got to see us as we are, warts and all. All right. About out of time. Closing thoughts. I hope this series has been of benefit to you. And if you need a refresher on it, the books are available in bookstores. The Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. And more importantly, you've got the Bible in front of you to remind you of some of these techniques. But just remember the basic principles, especially as you start dealing with people. Take the time, listen to them, see where they're coming from, with withholding judgment and withholding your criticism, and meet them where they are. And you've got to create that want in their mind and in their lives in order for them to accept the gospel. You can't force feed it down anybody's throat. They have to willingly accept it. Thank you for your attention.